Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. We got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the great editors over at the Kiplinger Washington Editors, the folks who produce the Kiplinger Letter, which I've been working off of now for over 12 years. And Jim's been with me a lot of those years. And we're talking about China today. That's first up on the list. Jim Ostroff, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Jim, the Chinese economy is an amazing organism. 9-10% growth a year. Of course, they've had a long way to come. It's not hard to compound when you got that much of a country, that many people. It's not really, if you think about it, it's not really hard to compound growth at that rate at 8-10% a year when you've come from basically, you know, 30-40 years ago, the GDP was probably almost nothing.
Well, exactly. I mean, there are the numbers. I mean, just mathematics. You know, that indicate you can do doubling. You can do doubling. That can't continue. No other reason than the tyranny of mathematics.
Right.
But of course, it is. What we talk about here is something more basic, and that is a Chinese, essentially command and control economy that continues to build up tremendous, mind-boggling inefficiencies. And right now it's being papered over because they got so much money and they can throw a few billion here, a few billion there. But it can't last.
Well, that's the thing. And we saw this with Japan, didn't we?
Well,
is it a reasonable comparison to compare China today to Japan of the 80s?
In many ways it is, in terms of the fact that they were, in many ways, really high-tech leaders, and also the fact that people were saying that, you know, they have found the way to emulate them, and this is it, folks. This is the future.
But their problem was that they had a bogus, basically a bogus capital structure over there.
Well,
the state was propping up a lot of the companies, and it's such a dysfunctional system that 20 years later they're still in the doldrums over there.
They are
in Japan,
and and you might say different, but we had this tremendous economic crash. No, it wasn't the government really propping up things, but it was private industry in some way really propping things up,
right,
as well as the consumer.
But the government was too, Jim. I mean, we found out that the government was doing some stuff over there that our government wasn't doing. Right now, Jim, and I don't mean to get off the China thing, but just to point, just to use the analogy, I heard the other day that Japan's debt to GDP ratio is like 190%.
Well, it's very high,
and so they're saying that there's a capital there's a debt crisis coming with Japan. So now, folks, fast forward, you know, 20 years or so, and we got the Chinese, and everybody's scared of the Chinese. We actually put a poll on our homepage this week about whether you think the Chinese growth as an economy is going to be good for your small business or not good for your small business. Or if you just don't care, we ask those three questions. We'd like for you to go ahead and check that out, folks, at smallbusinessadvocate.com. But Jim, the Chinese have a very inefficient capital market, don't they?
Well, very inefficient. I mean, you know, for instance, you have the government that really rewards the local officials, you know, with promotions if they manage their regions well, which usually means we want to see so many new factories, this much infrastructure, and even if it's not needed. So, of course, what happens, of course, is you have overcapacity. oversupply,
right,
and waste. And all of those things we've always seen time and again in our economy or others, when they build up, after a while, the bottom falls out. We have recession.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is going on right now in China, but the government continues to paper that over.
Right.
Just so.
But they can only do that so long. We've seen this in Europe, haven't we?
Again.
And we saw this. We saw this with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. We saw it with AIG.
Exactly.
It's these are very similar analogies, aren't
and
they?
And they are. And I was going to say, you know, folks, this is what gravity is.
Yeah.
You can't defy it forever.
Mr. Newton's law of gravity is alive and well in the marketplace, isn't it?
It is, and it always will be.
Hold on to that thought. Quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more about China. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the legislative forecasts that Kiplinger has to talk about to cover this week, and a number of other things after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
She was a bebop baby on a hard day's night. She was
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check out all the stuff that we have there for you with no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use all of our stuff. It's designed to help you be successful with your small business, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check out my newsletter. I hope you'll subscribe to that. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon. And don't forget to take our poll question, which is right there on the homepage. And this week it's about China. It's about what Jim Ostroff and I are talking about. Jim's with the Kiplinger Editors, as you know. And so we have a three-question poll there. Do you think China is going to be good for your business in the future? Is it going to be bad for your business in the future? Or maybe you just don't care? We have all three of those options there, so check them out. And when you click on your answer, you'll see how the poll's going so far. Check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Jim Ostroff is with us. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. Jim, and one of the things that you report on is what you call their China's. And folks, what we're doing is we're having a little bit of a reality check on China. I agree, Jim, and I think you do too, that China is a force to be reckoned with. But they got some serious structural flaws, and one of them is education.
It really is. You know, they produce thousands and thousands of people in the sciences and engineering, but many of them are relatively poorly trained.
Interesting. Very interesting. I've never heard anybody else say that.
Right. They could not meet U.S. standards. We talk a lot here saying, No, they could not meet U.S. standards.
Interesting.
And as a result, of course, you know, they rely on so many people being educated in the U.S., Britain, elsewhere, and coming back.
Right.
But they don't produce them. And the other very critical thing is, you know, you have the government mucking up, you might say, every aspect of the not only the marketplace, but research and development.
Mm-hmm.
You have the government saying, we want you to do
instead
this.
Instead of letting the market
that.
Go, you've got engineering, you've got political engineering of everything. Jim, that cannot stand for long.
No, it can't. And again, they can go and they can import and they can steal innovation.
Right, and they do.
And they do. They absolutely do. And at the same time, this is something I know I've reported on particularly, that although they've made progress, China is now the world's largest polluter.
Yeah, they've got some serious environmental problems for not just their country, but for the world.
They do. And this is the real, they say, the big kahuna, the fact over here. You can't defy gravity, and you cannot defy demographics.
Yeah.
As a result of the one-child policy.
40 years of that policy.
That's right.
How that's manifesting right now.
What is happening is there are more and more people retiring, so the base of workers, you know, paying some type of retirement benefit, is shrinking. And
but Jim, there's another issue inside of that, and that's the fact that when you have a one-child policy, and in those cultures, a male child is more valuable than a female child, you've got millions of men in their 20s and 30s and teens,
right,
who don't have corresponding women to marry, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right.
Now, Jim, when you throw all this together, That sounds like a barrel of snakes.
And it is. And I should say that there are those who look and they see sort of straight line China growth,
yeah.
You know, sort of 45-degree angle up. It is not going to happen. There are too many indigenous built-in problems. Do not look, this is me really, to say, do not look to China as the model because
right. Well, see, I never looked at China as the model. I do think, though, that they're forced to be reckoned with. But, Jim, here's the thing. Here's the cautionary tale for America. Even if we can sit here and say, okay, China's not going to take us over. Don't worry. They're going to collapse before then. You know, that may give us some comfort, but it's going to be cold comfort the first time that they don't show up at one of our treasury auctions.
That of course.
Or the first time they come knocking on the Treasury Department's door and saying, here are these treasuries we bought from you. We want our money back.
We want our money. And
the first time we have a failed auction with China,
mm-hmm.
They're not doing it for any reason other than the fact that they need it for their own survival.
That's right.
That's when there's a day of reckoning.
Well,
Jim,
it is.
Is that day coming? Can we avoid that day?
You know, maybe sometime in the future. But I got to say,
I hope somebody smart's working on that.
That you don't want to. I mean, in a way, you need to, but you don't want to think about that because it would set off a chain reaction.
But Jim, isn't that why we need to be electing people who will help us get our own financial house in order?
Well, many people have said that we must do that very soon.
Yeah.
No matter how we do it, we must.
We've got to not be beholden to the faults of the Chinese structure, to the defects in the Chinese structure. We can't let their emergency become our nightmare.
No, and we build our national security
yeah.
umbrellas
yeah.
in terms
yeah.
of missile defense and radar.
Jim, let's move over and talk about this legislative forecast. It's a little box on page one.
Right, right.
Good job on that. A number of things that we're saying that Congress is going to work on this fall. What are they going to do with the Bush tax cuts?
Yeah,
what are they going to do with
right.
state tax, et cetera? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, we believe that Congress will extend the Bush tax cuts.
Will they do that before the election or in the lame duck?
It may well be during lame duck.
Yeah.
It may well be because it's political, too political for many of them, but particularly
mm-hmm.
Democrats. The same thing for the estate tax where, you know, the reduction is going to be running out, and it's likely, again, probably in December or so, late November or December, that they will go and fix that so that the higher rates do not kick in,
mm-hmm.
not all of them, as well as the fixing alternative minimum taxes.
Yeah, they'll just be patching that as you guys forecast
right, right.
here. They just keep kicking the can down the road. No leadership there, Jim. Quick break. Stay with us right back after these messages with Jim Ostroff, Tint Hill.
Everybody's blue when they're lonesome.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're having a great visit with Jim Ostroff. He is with the Kiplinger Editors, and I encourage you to check out their website, Kiplinger.com. They have the outstanding Kiplinger letter, which Jim and I work off of every week. And, of course, they have their biweekly letters, the tax letter and the agriculture letter. And those come out every other week. And then, of course, that magazine thing, Jim.
Yeah, there's a Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
And what about that phone number?
And there's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
And don't forget the 30-day free trial, which I worked hard to negotiate for you folks. Take advantage of that. Hey, Jim, I was on a radio show earlier this week, and the host was very concerned that in the lame duck session that the people who are losing, who are probably going to be kicked out in November, would have the ability and the desire to push through some of the legislation that they weren't able to get done the last 2 years. And I said I didn't think that was a concern. What do you think?
You know, on balance,
things like cap and trade.
Right, right, right. And I'd say you are correct. It's a very short period. Almost always they're concerned with just sort of tidying up,
right.
doing only minor damage. It's the odds are that Congress will not tackle any big substantial issues in the lame duck session. And as we know, unless there's some real national urgency, nor should they, because, many members are voting who will not, have been defeated.
Right.
And they just sort of, they should not take up issues like that.
Right.
They probably won't.
Well, I just hope they do their job, which is getting the budget done and the appropriations bills done.
Right. I mean,
I still think that if they don't get those things done on time, we should give them a timetable for that, a deadline. If they don't get that done, they don't get paid. Jim, I don't get paid if I don't do my job. How about you?
Yeah, I don't, but they can exempt themselves.
See, that's what I don't understand, folks. This is what's wrong with that picture?
Only organization that they can go and they can literally stop time.
Yeah.
If they
run
out of time, they stop the clock.
We need to take some of their candy away, I think, Jim. Hey, Jim, let's move over on page two and talk about autos. Give us the car leasing is on the rise again. I've leased several cars in my life. It's good. It can be a good way to drive a car.
Well, if you want to keep a car about 3 years and probably will drive usually no more than 12,000 miles a year, it is a good way to be in that vehicle.
Yeah.
And if
you're always going to be changing cars every three years.
Now, there are ways you can actually get out of leases, not by paying back, but by trading them, which is another story. But the thing here, it's very important that car leasing, which fell off the table in the latter 08 and early 09, it stopped.
Well, the capital market behind it went away, basically.
It did, and the big thing here, a sign of the economy, is that the various lenders basically said, we don't want to do that. We have no idea what these vehicles are going to be worth now in three years. Everything is dropping.
Right.
So they stopped lending in many cases. For leasing. Now it's coming back, it will this year be about one-fifth of all auto sales, and it will continue to climb in the next few years. It actually is a positive, somewhat positive sign.
Well, and some companies, because of their, depending on their tax planning, see, a lease is an expense check.
That's right, it is.
A payment that you on a car you own, part of it's deductible for depreciation, part of its interest, but it may be a better tax plan for you to lease a car
it's
than to
own
one.
It's something to consider. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And
okay.
And of course, oftentimes companies will offer a special deal on a lease. That's a good deal. And so look into those things. Always check the residual though. One of the key elements of that decision is how much is the residual. What's the car worth at the end of the term?
At the end of 3 years.
That's always good to know. Jim, quickly on the green energy, the green business. I got about 1 minute. You reported on this week. Talk to us about what's the news there?
Okay, basically this, due to various state requirements, the generation of green energy is soaring, and even right now, there'll be about 90,000 gigawatts of electricity generated by solar, wind, or water power. Right now, by 2015, that thing way more than doubles to 260,000 gigawatts. And it just keeps on going from there.
A few hundred gigawatts here and a few hundred gigawatts there. Pretty soon you're talking serious gigawatts,
they
aren't
do.
You?
And soon it will be 10% of U.S. power. That's without any federal mandate.
I'd like to see that. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself. Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, what a great report he always gives us. He'll be back next week. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you today, seek excellence, not perfection. See you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.